Very true.
Someone's even playing music.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Kim.
How you doing, Judy?
Very good. We see a lot of each other, don't we?
We do. Hi. More than when we're on campus.
I know. It's very true. Very true. Hi, Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hi there. Doing
How
well.
Are you doing? You're doing well?
Hanging in there.
Good.
Yeah.
Have a great presentation.
Thank you.
Nico.
Nico, maybe you'd like to bring the presentation up and on the first slide.
I'm going to mute everyone, and Judy, I mean, you might have to unmute yourself, okay?
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Nico. That's very nice.
Nico, you're muted. Unmute yourself.
So Maggie, you flag me as to when we should start.
Okay, right now we have 99 participants, so let's wait a few more. I would wait maybe 12:05 since we have like over 200 members that registered.
Sure. Judy, just so you know, it's 12:05 and we have 112 members in. Okay, so I think we're going to start, and I'm sure that there will be others that join us along the way. So I want to thank everyone for joining us this afternoon for the remote work from home presentation. I will start by introducing myself. I'm Judy Deer, president of MUNASA. And two of my other colleagues on the MUNASA executive will be presenting today. We have Maggie DeCoto, who is also steering the wheel of letting everyone in. She is the vice president of MUNASA. And we also have Niku Tagavi, who is the treasurer on MUNASA. And she is going to be controlling the slides
So every now and again, you, when we say next slide, we're talking to Niku. So I want to thank the both of you for all the hard work that you put into preparing this presentation for today. And we also have some guest speakers, which were not announced in our invitation that went out. We kind of kept it as a surprise. Excuse me. So we have with us today Lorraine Mercier, who is the director of the New Model of Work Project Office. We also have Lisa Boyle, who is the Associate Director, Organizational Development, New Model of Work Project Office. So thank you for joining us today. It's very important that you be here and give us an update on what's happening with the pilot project. We also have Joanne Poole with us today, and most of us here know Joanne. She has given us this vast menu of courses and training over the years. She is the Director of Organizational Development, so we're extremely happy to have all three of them with us. Before I begin speaking much further, I'd just like to mention a couple of housekeeping rules. Maggie is going to make sure that everybody stays on mute because it would be difficult to present if people, if there's background noise. We are also recording this presentation, and there will be a Q&A that will be followed at the end. So we did receive a few questions before today's event, and but nevertheless, if you have questions, please jot them in the chat as we go along, because the Q&A will be reserved to the end of the presentation. So I wanted to start off by saying that I think you may all recall that MUNASA launched a work from home survey in late April. And we provided an overview of the results in a bulletin in early June. And we let you know the comments, or some of the comments and some of the experiences that our members had since we went on lockdown in March 2020. Today we're going to share just a few of the highlights of that survey. We're not going to go into depth. We just wanted to refresh your memory on some of the results of the survey and essentially how positive it was in terms of people enjoying the remote work experience. I would like to, though, before I start right into sharing the percentages with you of the respondents, I would like to say that remote work is built not just on results, but on trust. And a dictionary definition of trust says it's a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. So I'm just going to read it again because I think it's such a great definition. It's a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. And that's why I say that remote work is not just built on results, it's built on trust. The employer has to trust its employees, and the employees have to trust their employer in order to have a successful experience from remote work. So I'm going to go right into some of the results of our surveys, the highlights, the main points. And once I finish, Niku is going to pick up where I left off, and then Maggie will as well. She will follow Niku. And then after we are finished our brief presentations, we will turn it over to Lorraine and Lisa to share the an overview of the pilot project of the New Model of Work Office. Excuse me. It's very interesting that we received a high number of respondents who found that they could do 100% of their job working remotely. 85%, that's a very large number of employees that say they can do 100% of their job from home. 35% of the respondents said that they sometimes worked more than their regular hours. 31% responded that they frequently work more than their regular hours, and 18% responded always. I want to point out, though, that these percentages have been rounded off to the closest figure. So, for instance, those who responded always, it was 17.5. We rounded it up to 18. We felt it would be easier to share numbers with you if we rounded off the percentages. So just to reemphasize, 31% responded frequently. The employer would actually get more out of their employees when they're working remotely than when they're in the office, because many people have to take public transportation, and to catch their bus or their train, they have to leave at 4:30 on the dot or 5 o'clock on the dot in order to make it to the train or bus in order to get home. But it demonstrates that obviously a lot of people put in a lot of extra hours while they're working remotely. Over 61%, oh, and I should be saying to Niku, next slide. Thank you. Over 61% found their workday to be more productive working from home. Even that, you know, that's more than half of the employees at McGill found their workday to be more productive. 26 responded somewhat more productive, and 11% found that it wasn't more productive. I think a lot of it depends on what your responsibilities are. We received many comments. Actually, we received over 100 comments on that particular question. And some of the comments alluded to the fact that commute time was eliminated. They were able to work longer hours. This created a more productive environment for them. There were less interruptions, less chatting in the office and so forth. They were able to focus better. And as I said, fewer interruptions. And I think that that depended on if your kids were at home from school for part of the pandemic. You know, if you had children at home while you were working remotely, it was definitely more complex. Next slide. 43% responded that they found that meetings were more productive. Somehow productive if they were held virtually. Somehow we thought that that percentage would be a little bit greater, but it was 43%, almost half. 36 responded somewhat, and 20% responded no. Some of the comments, and we received a lot of comments on this one as well, some of the comments said that they found that the meeting times were respected better, because one meeting often followed another meeting. So meetings were scheduled back to back. So if you scheduled an hour meeting, you kept it to an hour. So the time slot of the meeting was better respected. They felt that because the time slots were better respected, that the agendas were followed more closely. And once again, you didn't have to walk from one building or one room to another room to get from one meeting to another, which allowed for back-to-back meetings. And some felt that the productivity of the meeting depended on the topic. As we go on, next slide, almost 47% of the participants that participated in the survey were supervisors. There are individuals that supervise staff. That means that almost half of those who participated in the survey are supervisors. 53% said they don't supervise. On to the next slide. 91% of those who supervise staff said that they could supervise effectively or efficiently. 9% of the employees responded no. But if you look at that 91%, that's quite astounding. It tells you a lot about them as supervisors or the staff that report to them, that they were able to supervise very effectively and efficiently during the pandemic. I'm a supervisor as well, and I found that you could connect more frequently with your staff over Zoom or Teams than what we might even do in person. So I too found it effective. And now I believe we go over to Niku.
Thank you so much, Judy. And hello, everybody. Thanks for being here. So I will continue with some more facts out of our survey. 70% of supervisors said that they can complete their task while working from home. And 27% said no. Some of the reasonings were that they connect regularly, daily meetings, check-ins, to ensure that everything is on track. And some find that supervising remotely is much more time-consuming, and that some conversations are much easier to be conducted in person. 96% of employees who supervise are able to hold virtual meetings and communicate effectively. That is a huge number. But 4% said no. So some of the reasons that we got was tasks can get done by having regular virtual meetings, phone calls, emails. However, it's very important to keep the lines of communication open, organic, and allow unplanned discussions to happen. And some found that relationship building could suffer when you're not in person. Mm-hmm. 90% of employees who do not supervise are able to complete their work efficiently from home. 2% said no, and 8% responded other. We had a lot of comments on this as well. There are a lot of factors to consider. One, if your kids are at school or at home, you definitely work more efficiently, but you put in way more hours. Some tasks cannot be done from home. And one of the things that people said is that they do not have access to their colleagues regularly. Some could be on meetings, some could be, not available. So, according to our survey results, 68% of people who participated prefer a hybrid model of work, which is a mix of remote and in-person work. 30% prefer to work only from home, and 2% prefer to work from the office.
Niku, you may want to change your slide.
I have.
Oh, and I don't see it. Oh. Interesting.
I'm sorry.
It's showing fine for me here.
Okay.
Is
so
it?
You're good, Niku. Okay. Please continue.
Thank you.
I don't think that's anything you can do.
Excellent.
Okay. So if given the option, 87% of participants would be interested in a hybrid model of work. 11% responded maybe, and 2% responded no. So some of the comments that were very interesting were, some said that they were hired during the pandemic. They have no idea what their offices look like or what that experience is like. Some have developed a routine for the remote work already. One to two days is sufficient to connect in person. And some find the isolation of work from home at 100% difficult. And some would like face-to-face contact, and it's important to them. So in general, the hybrid model of 3 to 4 days, working 3 to 4 days from home, or 1 to 2 days from the office, was favored by 75% of participants. And if we dig in a little bit more, 39% would like to work 4 days from home and 1 day from the office. 36% would like to do 3 days at home and 2 days at the office. 17% would like to do 2 days at home and 3 days at the office. 7% would like to do 1 day at home, 4 days at the office. And 1% would like 1 week on and 1 week off. So 1 week from home and 1 week from the office. And now I'll pass the floor to my colleague, Maggie.
Thank you, Niku. Good afternoon, everyone. Next slide, Niku, please.
We're on.
Oh, thank you. So although 40% of respondents would not seek other employment if the hybrid model offered did not meet their expectations, 36% of them said maybe they would, and 24% said they would definitely seek other employment. Next slide, please. According to our survey, 27% of respondents applied and were approved for the flexible work arrangement pilot project. 63% did not apply, and 3% applied but were not approved. Next slide, please. The top three aspects valued most about working remotely were less commute stress was the most valued aspect with a significant 64%. Happier and healthier work-life balance came in second with 43%. And reduced risk of contracting COVID-19 was third with 36%. Next slide, please. 62% feel that working remotely from home has had a positive impact on their mental health, such as less commute time, more time with family, and a better work-life balance, and so on. 24% feel that it has had a slight positive impact, and 14% did not feel it had a positive impact. But based on our comments, we feel that 14% that did not feel a positive impact would have been much less if the COVID-19 wasn't a factor. People were experiencing social isolation due to the pandemic restrictions, so therefore felt that they were missing the connection with their colleagues. Next slide, please. The three greatest challenges faced while working from home were social isolation was the greatest challenge faced with 41%. Internet connectivity came in second with 31%. And my physical workspace was third with 26%. It's no surprise that social isolation was the greatest challenge. Next slide, please. 65% do not feel that working remotely from home has had a negative impact on their mental health, such as increased loneliness, less connected, less motivation, and so on. 22% feel that it has had a slight negative impact, and 13% feel it has had a negative impact. Again, based on the comments that we received, we feel that the negative impact would have been much less if COVID-19 wasn't a factor. Next slide. Oh, and I'm done. That was quick. Back to you, Judy.
Thanks, Maggie. Thanks very, very much. So in conclusion, we just wanted to point out that 91% of the survey participants were planning to be vaccinated. That's very, very good news to us. And then once vaccinated and mandated back to work, what would they be, what were their preferences would be the right word to use. 57.5% said that they would be willing to return to work 1 to 2 days a week. So obviously the greater majority enjoyed the remote work from home experience. And by and large, they would be happy to continue working remotely, but if they were mandated back, they would prefer 1 to 2 days a week. A much smaller percentage said that they would be willing to return to work 3 to 4 days a week. That was 18.5. And then 13% would be willing to return to work full time. Obviously, they are the minority right now. And then 11% would not be willing to return to work at all. So by and large, I think people realize, those that work at McGill realize that a hybrid model is the direction of the future. And I think the numbers speak for themselves. So we are going to turn it over now to Lorraine Mercier and Lisa Boyle to discuss the pilot project out of the new model of work office. Before we conclude and pass it over to them, we want to thank everyone once again for attending. And please put those questions in the chat. Any questions you have for the Munas executive or for those from the new model of work office or Joanne Houle, please put them in the chat, or you can even put your hand up at the end and ask them verbally. So over to you, Lorraine and Lisa.
I'm just waiting for the slides to come up. And Lorraine?
Yes.
Hi.
So maybe I can just start by saying thank you to everybody and thank you to you to give us this opportunity to share with you where we at with the pilot project. And I may have to excuse myself. I have another engagement around one, but if I am not there, Lisa will take over and answer your question. It's very interesting, the results of your survey. It really echoes what we have seen in the literature and what's happening around in Canada, in Quebec, and around the world as well. So next slide, please, Lisa.
Yeah. So basically what we're going to do today is we're going to give you sort of a snapshot into what's happening with us at the pilot project these days. We've just recently done some onboarding meetings with the teams that will be participating in the pilot project. And we're going to give you an on the floor level, like what we gave them so that they can have, so we can sort of visualize what's going on. But before I do so, I just wanted to say that for us, we use hybrid work, just like you used it, and you use work from home. We also call that telework or remote work versus on-site work when we talk about our percentages, just to clarify on the languages. And the other thing is that you looked at it as work from home, one day a week, 2 days a week. That's how you structured your survey. But the way that we look at the work is as a percentage, so that there's more flexibility around that percentage. I just wanted to sort of like put that out there before going on. And another important element is that we had sort of three distinct phases. We had the pre-pandemic phase where even though there was internet available and different IT tools available, most of us worked from home. Then we had the pandemic situation where all of a sudden all of us were thrust into remote work. And now we're moving into the new normal or the new post-pandemic phase where some of us will be working from home and some of us will be working on site. And that's kind of a different situation as well. There'll be people and students in the building. And I just want to highlight that because that's going to put us in a new situation that we haven't really worked with yet. So today, what we're going to look at is a little bit of context, talk about the pilot project like I mentioned. Very important to the pilot project because we're going to be using percentages of remote work that are higher than the norm. Is with that comes a different use of space. We're going to be looking at the things that we're exploring with the new model of work pilot project. And finally, in the end, we're going to talk about policy development and how that's going to move forward. And if I could ask you to change the slide, please. Thank you so much. So this is a very important slide. because it talks about the developing experience of hybrid at McGill. So working in parallel, we have the pilot project, which I call the hybrid plus plus, because we're going to be using percentages of remote work that are quite high. We'll be looking at what that means, how the different percentages impact the experience. And as I said before, we're also going to be looking at alternative workspaces, alternative uses of space and norms. And we're going to be tracking all of that because we're going to be sharing the information as we go throughout the pilot project. We're not going to wait till the end of the pilot project and say, here's all the information. As our learnings emerge, we're going to be sharing. And we're working lockstep with human resources and organizational development, because the university-wide, there's ongoing and developing experience with hybrid as well in terms of the new interim flexible work arrangement. So there's a lot of communication and flow going between the two. And I can tell you that I work very closely with HR and OD and Joanne Houle in terms of, and we work very closely in terms of developing tools, approaches, alignment, and training. Should I answer questions? I'll answer questions at the end, I guess. Is that the best? Okay. So if I could ask you to, yes, thank you. So just to mention though, the flexible work arrangement percentage is maximum up to 40%. And in the pilot project, we're hovering around 50%. So Lorraine?
Yes, so why a pilot project? It's really to stimulate the reflection from the administration and from us as a staff and of faculty staff and academic on what can be the next model of work or the future model of work. What can we bring forward in that topic? And we really want to learn from the experience that we're gonna do over the next 18 months and have this ability to change things, to adapt things whenever we're gonna face some challenge or some issues by talking with the people participating in that project. Who will be part of that? So we have five units that were selected by the higher administration a few months ago. And the way that they selected these people, they did a call for people who would be interested to the administration level. And they decided for four groups that already have some issues with spaces. So it was a good opportunity for everybody to bring these people at the same space. So we will have six subgroup of libraries. We will have the group R2R from human resources, communication two group, translation office, and graphic design. We will also have the sustainability office, and of course, the new model of work that will not only participate, but do the work of evaluating how it's going to go. We will be located at 550 Sherbrooke on the sixth floor. This is a space that is already occupied by some people from the library. And the pilot project will be around 18 months. So we are expecting starting at end of August, beginning of September, up to January 2023. Next slide, please. So the project office is composed of five persons. And I should say that we are three on this group on the team today, because Jessica Sperilli is also present. So I just want to mention that. So we will have, as a director, it's myself, which will go over the strategic orientation, the objective, timeline, pilot project, and evaluation. As Lisa will be more on the policy, guideline, tools, measurement, assessment, change management, and she will be supported and accompanied by Jessica on research guideline, procedure and support, and also HR practice and work processes. We add also Virginie Saint-Pierre. Some of you already know her. Virginie used to work with us for 7 years in design services, and she decided to join that team for the interest that she has for that and the new, everything new that can come out of this. So Virginie will be mainly responsible of everything around the spaces, and we are still missing our administrative assistant, which will be, I can say you now, that it's going to be an administrative officer that will do a large part of service clientele and supporting the new model of work. We are about to finalize this position as well. So as you can see, it's going to be a multidisciplinary team, but very collaborative, and we will be multidisciplinary but complementary in such a way that everybody has their own ability and skills, and this will come to a very dynamic group. I can see that right now. Next slide, please. So this is an overview of the project, the floor plan at 550. I cannot point with my mouse, but what is important to see there is the fact that we will have various type of spaces, individual workstation. We will have also, of course, meeting room. We will have collaborative room and collaborative zone, as well as social spaces. You see that there is a lounge, there is the kitchen area, and everything is around different type of work. Next, please. We will integrate some biophilic element, and for those who doesn't know what is biophilic, is the fact to incorporate the some element of nature in our layout and in interior design, which has a good impact on the wellness of the people. So biophilic, different type of furniture for different purpose, technological feature and great digital tool, range of space type, and building on opportunity to connect with each other. Next, please. So some interior design and furniture, as you can see, we're gonna have ergonomic workstation that are adjustable. You can stand or sit, as well as ergonomic chair, private lounge chair to have a very dedicated or individual work, creative work where you need to be concentrated, collaborative spaces and common area to again share and collaborate together, meeting room as required, a lounge, and four phone booths for more private or focused meeting and discussion room. Next, please. So this is an example of biophila. It's really biophilic. It's really just a proposal just to show you what this entails. So a green wall, element of natural lights and biomorphic design element that remind again the nature and allow user their space naturally. to use their space naturally and informally. And we would like to give a kind of home setting at the space to do a connection between what we're doing at home now and what will the office will represent. Next, please. This is some illustration of what can be a collaboration hub where we can exchange ideas and discussion, the type of workstation that we may have adjustable with a divider around the workstation in order to get a little bit of privacy. And at the bottom, you can see the individual chairs where you can have a lamp, tablet, space to put your laptop and your feet as well. The things that I may want to add is on the floor, we will have what we call the white noise system, which is really to attenuate the sound that is present when we are walking in open area. And we will have also acoustical panel strategically placed on the floor to attenuate again the sound around that. Next. So Lisa, up to
you. Yes, so it's over to me. So what, I'm just going to move over my pictures here. So basically what we'll be doing in the pilot project is exploring new models of work and really trying to look at and answer a lot of questions that have come up. So a lot of studies have been done and a lot of studies are ongoing. There's literature reviews, benchmarking, things like that. But what we're learning is we're trying to look at things like how and where is work best done. Like some of the things, like some of the comments or some of the results from the survey about how we get more done when we're quiet at home or when we don't have to commute, we can focus or take that extra amount of time to finish a project. So overall, how and where is work best done? What's the impact of hybrid work arrangements? Like we're looking at it for a sustainable, long-term, planned concept instead of thrust into it during the pandemic. So overall, what's the impact of hybrid? Positive. There's a lot of positive impacts. Are there any negative impacts? And what does it mean in terms of impacts on workflow, teams, individuals? And there's also a range of preferences. Some people enjoy work from home or remote work, and some people really want to come into the office because that's where they're the most comfortable. And we have to take that into consideration as well. And then in terms of we had the pre-pandemic where we had the most of us working from work or on-site situation. We had the pandemic with most of us working from home situation. So what's the best optimal normal for us in our organizational culture and across varying, depending on the needs of the individual and of the team. So what is the better normal? What's the optimal normal for us? And as we move into that, what skills do we need? Like some of the things that we're finding are, we've looked at IT skills, communication skills, a lot of positive feedback from managers and different mechanisms, tips, and techniques that were used during the pandemic and also more emerging as we move forward. And tools, equipment, IT platforms. One thing that's really coming up lately is as we move into this new normal where there's some people who are on site and some people who are working remotely, how do we have a meeting where some people are sitting around the table and some people are virtual? And how do we make it so that meeting is equal for all, that everybody can see the same thing and we're sort of able to move back and forth between the in-presence and the online without disadvantaging any participants, for example. Then there's the use of space. Let's say we decide that it's a really good idea to do our very concentrated head work at home alone. And then we're going to come in to do our meetup with our team, because the literature shows that working remotely, sometimes you lose this sort of casual conversations or the team interactions or the collaborative impact of brainstorming in presence or all together. So if we do that, so how are we going to set up our space? How are we going to use our space? What are the impacts of that? And really, a very, really very important question is, how will we know if it's better or not? Like, the results of your survey are very important results. But moving forward in the pilot project and throughout the university, how will we know how hybrid is working, and how will we determine concretely what's it doing? So one of the key things that fall out of that is, how will we be tracking it? And if I could ask you to change the slides, thank you. So the three things that we're going to be looking at in the pilot project, and also we're working on how are we going to be doing this and developing the tools and the ways of doing so. Some already exist. So switching to a new work arrangement or a hybrid work arrangement for a long-term situation, what's the impact on well-being, wellness, equity? Let's say one person in the team decides they would like to work from home more than another person who's on site. Does that cause any kind of ripples in terms of equity now that we're in this new normal situation? In terms of comfort, we're going to be bringing our laptop, just example that of a conversation we had yesterday, and even for myself, because I'm part of this new project, is carrying my and taking the train, bringing my laptop to work. I bought something that would allow me to carry my computer and all the things that I need very comfortably. Example. Another example is working with the occupational, and maybe Lorraine can tell us a little bit more about this, but working with occupational therapists so that we're well set up at home and we're well set up at the office. These are all considerations that we need to take into effect. Did you want to say anything about that at this point?
Yes, so we contacted the School of PNOT just to work on a partnership where they can certainly have a say and also do evaluation for your setup at home, as well as what we're going to provide as a workstation and a place to work. And they are very more than willing to work, as well as what Lisa just said. The in-between, when you're traveling, when you don't have a dedicated space. So what are you bringing with you from home, or where, even though we're going to have lockers for everybody, it seems that we may want to move with some belonging. And this is something important. They even may recommend a pack sack or things like that on how best traveling between home and office.
That's right. And all of this, of course, fits under the umbrella of My Healthy Workplace and health and wellness, and all of the different types of training situations and different types of critical information that falls under that umbrella as well. So that's one, I'll call it one stream of focused interest. A second stream of focused interest is employee satisfaction. Now that we would be working in a hybrid manner at 50% and depending on the job, looking at different scenarios and perhaps more in some cases, how do employees feel like that? Does it enhance their feelings of engagement or does it decrease feelings of engagement? Because some of the literature says that that is what happens. And that literature goes prior to the pandemic. But the other thing we have to keep in mind about the literature is that there's a kaleidoscope of different studies. So we always have to keep that in mind. But a lot of people who work 100% remotely do feel a sense of disengagement. If I'm a team member who works remotely versus team members who work on site, sometimes I feel a sense of isolation. So these types of things in terms of employee satisfaction, belonging, and flexibility are another stream of interest. And a third stream of interest is in terms of the sustainable long-term hybrid work arrangement are things like impact on effectiveness, on our work individually, on our work as a team, and how do we track that? Now, some studies have shown that with a hybrid work arrangement, effectiveness increases greatly. So we need to not just speak about things like these subjectively, but to be able to sort of check in with teams and see what they have to say about that as we progress. Does it impact and improve capacity, quality, all of these critical elements about effectiveness? So that's the third, you know, very important stream. And of course, you know, they intertwine and they're important points for the pilot project and important points university-wide. If I could ask you to change the slide, thanks so much. So what I'm sharing with you here is the real, let's call it the long game in terms of what it is that we're trying to do, both within the pilot project and with the interim flexible work arrangement. And this we've kind of already, the interim flexible work arrangement has been updated, and as I'm sure you guys know, and what it was based on was information that we collected that already existed in the university, of which your survey was an important piece, and we thank you for that. Benchmarking with other universities and organizations, and meeting with individual units and different segments of the university, and to put that information together and sort of push it forward. And if I could ask you to change the slide again, thank you. And then what we're going to be really focusing on over the next 18 months, but it's not waiting, just to reiterate, not waiting to the end of 18 months to come up with conclusions, but as we learn in iterative, cyclical manner to share our learnings with the community and to have the flow move between information that's coming from and the results coming from the flexible work arrangement, continued review of literature, any benchmarking research, and consultation within the community. And at the end of the period of time, given all these communications with the community and different segments of the community, such as yourself, to then come up with a policy that's going to be a long-term policy that makes sense and that will be grounded in experience that we've had and are having and are sharing together at this time. So when I think our common goal is a hybrid policy that works for us, and so we're all here trying to work together to arrive at that goal. And so that would be all I would have at this time for this slide, and that would be it. Thank you.
If I may add, I have to go. I'm very sorry. Lisa will answer mm-hmm. your question. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that I'm reading the chat, and there is very, very a lot of information and good question that we would like to answer. So Judy, if we can get this question, it's going to be very useful for us to answer you. And I just want to thank you again for this opportunity and just to let you know that we remain available to answer all your questions. And if you feel that we need to come back to you, please don't hesitate. It's going to be a pleasure for us. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Lorraine. We will definitely save all of the comments and the questions from the chat and share it with both of you afterwards. What we will do now is turn it over to Joanne Houle to present.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I have a few slides and I guess we'll share them, but I want to be here just in support of the community and in support of this initiative. There's more about what I don't know than what I know. It's a continuous work in progress as we go along there. I would echo what Lorraine said. There's some great comments and questions and some tough dialogue. It was so tempting to engage a few times, honestly. But Ray, you're brilliant in managing all this. I would say whatever we can do to co-create this and to make this work together, because it is a first step, it's not the final destination, and we can get really polarized with they, you know, they're not giving us, we want this, we're not getting. And what I would say is I think we need serious time to find the right formula and the right balance, which doesn't dismiss what any of us have done during the pandemic that's brilliant, and we've supported each other in the community. But this is a new reality. It's not the same as when we were all together and tried. If you recall, we tried to get the flexible work arrangements going. We had barely over 200 people who were approved. And that's too bad, isn't it? So now we're saying the pendulum swung and it's like, yes, we all survived. We did great. Why can't we just have what we want? And they don't trust us. And I was quietly on board with that a year ago when I was told make arguments on why people should be ready to go back to work. I said, I don't know if I'm ready to go back myself. It's a really sensitive issue, isn't it? So I want to explore, next slide, please, how we work at this. And what I would say to you, just to invite you to think about if we had a real honest discussion, never mind the recording and all that, and said, do you trust that our leadership, you know, our bosses and our bosses' bosses always exhibit emotional intelligence? Do you trust that performance dialogue is always done fairly and equitably across McGill? Do people have equal chances to develop themselves and career advancement, et cetera, et cetera? These are tough pieces, right? Now, I want to invite you to look at what does that mean? We haven't magically changed completely. We're a little more awakened, so we want to get this right. You know, we don't want the door to close and go back to the old way of doing things, but how do we do it in a measured way? Because those people who supervised who wouldn't let their employees go to training before, or who didn't trust, wanted to micromanage, et cetera, we're still ourselves, okay? Right now we're in reactive mode because we've been through a lot, and suddenly are we gonna be put back into the box we were in before? I don't think any of us wanna go there, but I would invite you to say, what I've learned is that I don't know much. And so as we're approaching this, it's a new reality. The hybrid, definitely we want it to be about doing something differently that finds the balance. We want to attract and retain people. We want to make sure that we don't compromise services. We got by because we were in a pandemic and we all worked our butts off. We worked many more hours. How do we make sure that we're on track and that in the new reality that brings different groups together, some at home, some at work, some in between, how do we do that well? So I think it's super important. That we develop the capability. So we're being asked, next slide please, on the one hand, why can't we have more of what we want? But on the other hand, what are you gonna do to prepare us? Now, I know of an institution where people are being told, do whatever your managers want. If you want 5 days, take 5 days. You want 1 day, whatever it is. Think about the nightmare. If we're already dealing with inequities around PD, training, advancement, and so on, what would that look like based on what would people do that? So I would argue that we have a lot of work to do to get to a place where we can really, as an institution, not the individual to be trusted, but us as an institution to have some kind of fair equilibrium and opportunity. So these were some of the concerns that emerged with leaders, and I think you'd echo some of them, right? Concerns, are we gonna lose people? Are they gonna go and leave? Are they gonna leave the university for better opportunities? And what kind of equipment? People are saying, are you going to pay if I work from home? And again, we're saying it's an interim pilot, or it's an interim program. And if people choose to work from home at this juncture, that being said, all the work that Lorraine, Lisa, Jessica, and everyone will be doing will help us get to something different. Next slide, please. So we're trying to find the balance, managing realistic demands while trying to reintegrate. This is a big shift for all of us to go back to the workplace. And how do we just reignite ourselves as a community? If we said tomorrow we were going to outsource HR and outsource finance and outsource, we would all argue that we're much more than just a service that processes something, right? We're people who interact with each other. And I think it's really important if we can find that balance of reconnecting with each other as people face to face and at a distance, and the equilibrium in between both. How to encourage equity across the university based on what? Do we all agree that it's on role, task, unit, who your boss is? Like, what are the things that are going to inform how we administer these programs? It's going to be critical to be very, you know, aligned, I think, and accountable for them. We want to nurture that loyalty. If we do nothing, we'll lose people. If we do too much, you know, where it's too across the board, I think we'll also lose people because that sense of injustice will emerge. What does it mean where the university leadership has made it clear that they want to remain a face-to-face university? We're not an online institution, and there's a pride. When we did engagement surveys, people would say we're very proud of being a McGillian and the total experience of being at McGill. So that's alive and well in what we're doing. And we've got to find our balance for us as an institution, a face-to-face institution, providing tools, meaningful metrics around how to, when you ask people, how do you know you're doing a good job? Well, I get thank you letters and things like that. It's like, we don't always have metrics to work from. We're gonna have to move in that direction a bit from the research we're seeing to be able to align things a little better across the university. So there's a lot there around learning, development, tools for all of us, for our managers to support them, for our employees, the IT part of it. You know, it's emergent for sure, but starting at, and for those who don't know, I noticed it in the chat, it is 40%, up to 40% that's been approved for now. And it's not 2 days, it's 40%, which if you read between the lines, gives you a lot more flexibility, peak periods and valleys according to the needs that come up for the position rather than I'm entitled to Wednesdays, or you'll be able to deal with things a little more flexibly within your job and your units, I think. Next slide, please. This is just to say, you'll hear a lot about other institutions, and depending on the kind of work we do, it's hard to compare apples and oranges, but we polled Canadian universities and we asked them, where were you on the 31st of January, 2020 in relation to remote work? And you, as you can see, not much was developed for these sister universities. Okay, and next slide, please. If you take a look at where they were when we pulled them on June 9th, there was many didn't have anything in place. They were just wondering, looking at data, what do we do? And almost a quarter were saying they were going to prepare an interim policy. So if it's not a permanent piece that's been anchored at 40%, maybe that's good. If we get this right and we do it well, and you know, the new model of work office evolves in what it's doing, and we try to kind of go in step with them sometimes, I think we can do a lot more. I guess what I'm saying is we want to set ourselves up for sustainable, lasting success here. It's not an event, it's really a long-term journey. And so whatever you can do to input, trust that this is an investment the university's making our principals made it clear that for her, you know, this, what we've been through is super important. People are, have been amazing, but we have never experienced what we're about to experience now. So what is our new normal? So it's in that spirit. There's a real desire to plot our course carefully, but not to dismiss it. It's very proactive, in fact. It's the only institution, I think, that's engaged in this way, the only university in looking at this hands-on. Next slide, please. Okay, we're encouraging, this is just a plug, I really hope that we take good care. This is a tough time for everyone, and there's some great training and opportunities locally and centrally. And I want to, next slide, please, applaud those of you who mentioned Hélène and a few of you training. I think that it is a time where some people were just kind of let go adrift and others engage themselves and with the team because it is a time of learning. So there are resources out there offline, happy to chat with you guys about it. But a lot of what we have to do, next slide, please, I think we're just closing. It really is to learn together. So we will do what we can in OD and HR to align with this office. In other words, if they're looking at certain variables and we know that that's coming, we'll try and bring it in gently into central, you know, into our day-to-day operations too, so that we're not sitting waiting for 2023 to say, you know what, we can adjust this. So we've been looking at a lot of research together, a lot of potential survey work that'll be done and so on. And our self-perception, I was part of answering that survey, I think it was a wonderful survey, is helpful in getting the pulse. And there are other variables we need to understand about ourselves, about our environment, that will be complementary to that, but it's a powerful survey and glad to be a part of it. So if we can find ways to give each other feedback and develop next steps, but I would say don't take this as an insult that the university doesn't trust us. It really is, let's make this work. I don't want this to be a window dressing or an event. It really is, let's get this right, because we've come a long way from a very traditional model of management. And I think we need to ground ourselves and incorporate these themes into what we do, from IT tools to how we do, you know, hybrid team work and stuff like that. Okay, so thank you. I think I probably ran over here as I rant.
No, that's fine, Joanne. Really, your comments were absolutely excellent. I particularly like the fact that you explained it very nicely, that this is a new training ground for all of us. You know, it's going to be step by step. And we're a very, very large organization too. We have over, I think, 10,000 employees. So it's going to be a learning exercise or a learning curve for all of us. So thank you so much for your comments. I'm going to turn it over to Maggie and Niku, who is going to monitor the chats. So those who presented, if you could please leave your mics on so that you can answer immediately if the question is particularly designed for your area. So Maggie and Niku, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. So Ray was kind enough to compile all the questions that came in chat. So, I will start with the questions that we received in advance. And then once I'm done, I'll pass it over to Ray, who will ask the remaining questions. So the first question that we received was, the university just announced that they will permit employees whose job allows it to work from home up to 2 days per week. Is McGill going to follow the Quebec government and permit employees to work from home 3 days a week starting 2022?
I think I'm the only person. Is Joanne still? Oh, Joanne just left, eh?
Yes, she just mentioned that she had another
meeting.
Yes.
So can I ask you, what's the, so I'll try and answer some questions, but some might be very Joanne OD centric. So can I ask you for the question one more time? Sorry, Maggie.
Sure, no problem. So the university just announced that they will permit employees whose job allows for the work from home up to 2 days a week.
So they want to know, is McGill going to follow the Quebec government and which will permit their employees to work from home 3 days and go into the office 2 days?
Okay, so this would really be a question that normally Joanne would answer, but I can answer it to a certain degree because I'm aware of the changes that were recently made to the interim flexible work arrangement. So basically, this is where we go to, this is where we go up to the 40%. So it's up to 40%. What they're talking and what you're talking about is a larger percentage that the government is doing. For the moment, the flexible or the interim flexible work arrangement has been increased up to 40% for us. And as I was saying, and Joanne was saying, as we are going through the experiences and learning our way through, that doesn't mean it's necessarily going to stay there. It's there for the moment, and we're going to continue to feedback and to provide information and collect information and make further decisions. That's why it's called interim.
Thank you, Lisa. So we have five more questions that we received in advance. So would working from home 3 days be considered in the future once the new model of work is implemented, especially when admin and support staff is not student facing nor PI research facing?
Mm-hmm. So in a way, so to come to the, to take this and put it into the pilot project context, we're experimenting with higher than 40%. So the information that we're generating, sometimes we're around 50%. And in some cases, we're willing to look at different, you know, we're looking at things more on an individual, maybe sometimes a team basis. So we'll be developing information, we'll be feeding that back. So I think the information that we have, the information that's going to be generated by once mechanisms are established and people have experience with the 40%, then people can look at, I think down the pipes, down the road, we might say, it's sort of the same answer. Because it's interim, because we're developing information, I think that, you know, it's going to be looked at in the future. I don't know. I can't predict what's going to happen. But all I can say is that we will have more experience with what flexible work arrangement looks like from different percentages than we will have had in the past. And that can inform these decisions.
Okay, thank you. So the next question, would the same rules apply across all faculties and admin units?
For the flexible work arrangement? So so right now the flexible work, and this was a point that Joanne made too when she was speaking, like the flexible work arrangement applies across all units and faculties, and it's contingent on really the nature of the work. And we saw that during the pandemic as well. So what we need to do to ensure equity is to have very good mechanisms and guidelines so that we can all go through the same process when making the decision about who can work from home and who has to come on campus. So that's why the development of those mechanisms really does enhance or facilitate a more equitable approach long term.
Okay, and on that same note, will we have the flexibility to modify hours in work schedule as well as work from home 2 days, or must we choose between the two options?
Now this, I'm not sure. That's a very HR question for the flexible work arrangement. I do know that with the 40%, as Joanne had mentioned, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's all by day. So let's say somebody says, I want to do my 40%, in whatever that means in terms of half afternoons or something, that could be, there's more flex in the 40% in that way.
If no impact to scheduled meetings, will we have the flexibility of changing the days worked from home depending on the week? And they put, if they have a doctor's appointment, sick day, major snowstorm.
Okay, so that in terms of the flexible work arrangement is an HR question, but I can answer it from a pilot project perspective, is that it's going to be the schedules, there's going to be a schedule, a more, because research has shown that it's nice to have an idea of a schedule, that it's not all ad hoc, but there's always flex with managers, and it's decided at a team and a individual level. So in the pilot project, there's flex for the flexible work arrangement. I would have to find out. We would have to, like, I'm sure Joanne probably knows, but we could get back to you.
Okay. And the last question that I received in advance, I mean, most of it was answered because it was, we understand that the pilot for the new work model, we understand that there is a pilot for the new work model. Can they elaborate? So your presentation elaborated, such as which employees, how many, for how long, what does the pilot entail? So I believe your presentation answered all that, booking cubicles in advance. They asked via an app. And the last question in this long, many other questions is, why would it take more than 2 years to implement the new work from home model?
Well, that's the thing, is that the new work from home model, the policy is going to, because we need to have develop experience with the new normal, the new way of having people work remotely and work on site, both within the pilot project and throughout the university, so that we can continue to develop this information for ourselves in our own university, but also see what else is going on, so that when we make decisions in the longer term, we have them based on our experience. And in terms of the pilot project, it was the person said, like, to reserve cubicles. Well, it's to reserve workspaces, like we would call it reserve workspaces, and there's going to be a an application for that.
Okay, so there is.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Lisa. So that's it for me, but I'll send it over.
Yeah, to I saw the ones.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time today. The presentation was really informative. Some of the questions we've had have definitely already been answered, but I'm going to ask them in order. And so we have, will we ever have the option to work from home more than 2 days a week? I think we've already answered that one quite succinctly. Yeah. Will the slides from the presentation be available to the participants? Yes, or at least not the slides, but the presentation itself will be on the MUNASA website soon. We'll certainly email you all when that's the case. How does the working from home model impact contracts? Do we need to have this option written into our contracts?
This is a good question. Well, I'll have to get, I don't know that answer at this moment. I'll have to check that one.
We'll certainly give you a copy of these questions as well.
Yeah, that's a good question.
What avenues will the new model of work office be using for releasing the information from the pilot project to non-participants?
That is an excellent question, and thank you for asking that. So basically, we're going to be having on a regular basis, maybe every, you know, month, 2 months, we'll decide. We're going to be having regular updates with unions and associations. We're also, because just to sort of highlight, we're at the beginning of our existence. We didn't exist before March of this year. So we don't have any website. We didn't have any staff. We don't have any office, really. It's going to be, you know, under construction. So we haven't yet developed our website and our communications materials. In fact, we're trying to work on that now. So we're going to be giving regular communications to different unions and associations, but then we're also going to try and appear in as many newsletters as we can. But we're going to have a website where we're going to put up our information, and also I'd like to have it so that if there's any questions from the community, we could also collect those on our website and respond to them. So to try and make it an easy mechanism for communication. You now know us. You've met Lorraine and I today, so you can feel free to reach out to us at any time. And also to say, we're very happy to be here, and we really value your questions and your input, because it will make us think about things that we hadn't thought about yet. So it's a two-way process, and we appreciate that.
Okay. I'm very glad to hear that. Will everyone in pilot projects be provided laptops?
Well, I think some people already have laptops, and I know that that's being evaluated, and that's on Lorraine's desk. And some people, because of the type of work that they do, they have specific requirements. So I don't know the details of that, but I can tell you that we're calling ourselves kind of like we need to be able to transport and to move between different workstations. So we're going to be mobile. Yeah.
Great. So there are a wealth of studies and resources available, which you already mentioned, from companies who've been doing hybrid or all remote work for years. Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of library of external sources, studies, and resources on virtual work that you're using? You mentioned meetings between in-person and off-site and maintaining equity, for example, and a virtual first approach would address those. I also just wanted to highlight as part of this question that I really appreciate that you use remote work rather than working from home, because that is, yes, it's very important.
Mm-hmm. So we do. In fact, I started working for McGill on May 11th. Since that time, I have been sort of like absorbing as much information as I can from as many places as possible. And I can tell you, we've got different sort of streams of information. So I do have, and we do have, a lot of information that would be something that would be good to put on our website, for example, also. Libraries, we're working with libraries. So we're very fortunate too for that. They're very helpful as well. And we have also been doing benchmarking. So we've been meeting with different organizations and asking questions. And we've gathered information from at a meeting of CABO where we did a poll. So any time we have the opportunity to collect some information, we are. So that is something that we would share. And so we've been trying to keep abreast. The literature expands daily on this topic. So through benchmarking, word of mouth, talking to people, and we're really interested, and I'm putting this out there because you all have contacts and you probably all know a lot of people. I'm really interested in hearing about tool mechanisms, what I call rubber hits the road. You know, let's make it happen information. Yeah.
Well, so, you've just opened a whole can of worms.
There's my pitch.
Look forward to hearing from me when I come back from my vacation.
Yes.
We have one that was asking about the remote work flexibility interim. I think that one's already been covered. Will the university increase the proposed 40% to match? We already talked about that. Are there any other internal focus groups or management reviews on this flexible work arrangement that have been conducted as other sources? Will these results be made available for public McGill review transparently?
So like, I guess that means like other pilot projects, is that what it
I'm not is? Sure, that's almost okay. Literally the wording, unfortunately.
So. I really don't know. Not that I know of.
If you're the person who asked that, feel free to send a follow-up for clarity and I'll include that later.
Yeah, but I'm new too since May 11th, so there could be things that I don't know.
One question again, asking for a literature review reading list. If you want to add that to us, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. Speaking of comfort, has the new model of work engaged the disability office to ensure accessibility in the new office and workplace in the new flexible environment?
I know that, so that would be more something Lorraine would be aware of, but I do know from the meetings that I've been in that it is something that we've discussed and we are doing some work to that end. So it's not off the table. I don't know what interaction she's had with it and if there was any interaction with the office, but it is definitely on the radar. And I know that there's work being done around that point.
Great. What specific hybrid work policies are being evaluated? Hot swap desks, open concept offices? I feel like a lot of that was already in the presentation, but if there's anything that you feel like wasn't in there that you would like to mention,
Well, some things, what I think is really interesting about the pilot project, the sharing of the spaces and the reservation of the spaces and the movement around the office. And there's also going to be conference rooms, but also smaller meeting rooms if necessary. So this is definitely one thing that we covered. One thing though is, and this is new for me, and I think it's important, is extending the health and well-being concept and integrating it into, because we're buying furniture, creating a new environment, integrating that into the environment. That's something that's new that we're looking at. And like I personally had not seen green walls like that and things like that. So that's an interesting concept with things like that. And so that would be something else. And but really what's important and that we're really focusing on is all of the space elements, the sharing elements, but what are the mechanisms? Like what are the tools that are required from communication, management, IT? What are some concrete tools that if I sat down as a manager to manage my team according to their preferences? Because if there's anything I've noticed since I've even started this project is some people are like, yeah, I want to work from home 100%. And other people are like, I moved next to my office so I could come to work every day. So there's a range of preference, and that's an important concept too. So these are the types of things that are just now emerging, and we just really launched, pushed off. We're not officially opened yet.
Okay. What specific hybrid work policies? Nope, we've done that one. There is another 8 questions still. Are all these workstations shared, different spot every day based on availability?
Very, very good question. So this is a very interesting question because when we're talking about shared space, and we're using 50% because it's ease for calculation and things like that, because we have to make sure that every day we have enough work areas available, that the number and the type of work structures or the work areas that will work for the people who are going to be showing up. And people have priority depending on their team, and we rotate that through. So they're reservable. So you would have to reserve every day. You could reserve in advance. And we're looking at a system that will sit on top of hopefully MS Office, so that it's something that we're already comfortable with. You would have to reserve every day. You'd have to reserve your conference room. And the other thing we have to take into consideration is we are working with teams now who are going to be working with the larger McGill community, who are going to be on site. So one of those teams works with students. They need space to meet some of those students. One of those teams has many, many large meetings. So they might want to come in for half a day if they have an in-person meeting that they want to have. So we have to have that flexibility. There's peak periods, you know, so there's a lot of elements to be considered in terms of scheduling and reserving your desks and things like that.
The next question was, where is the budget for this? I'm not sure if that's available.
I do not know. That would be a Lorraine question. I don't have that answer. Sorry.
It's all right. Thank you. What is the timeline to have this work policy? I feel like that information is in the presentation.
Yeah, we've discussed.
Why was a pilot deemed necessary? I explain. Some enterprises have decided to directly jump into work from home with greater percentages than McGill. Is this the nature of the McGill's mission? Some other factor? Thanks.
Well, it's a good question. And I'm aware of some organizations that are able to jump into it directly, but there's a couple of things we have to take into consideration, is that we are sort of like a community-based university. We're going to have the students on site, and we're large. We're very large. a lot of, and in my humble opinion, if we jump into 100% right away without the supporting mechanisms, I don't think that's a good thing. I think that people are left in a little bit of free fall there. I personally, and this is, I'm just being very honest, I personally think having those tools, mechanisms, and ways of working and structures around us is a helpful thing. And so that would be my opinion on that.
Is it possible for your superiors to refuse the 40% flexible work arrangement without good reason?
So this would be a very HR question. I know that the flexible work arrangement says it's contingent on approval of manager, and I'm not sure what happens in the cases where there's a disagreement. So I don't know that answer. We'd have to find out.
Hopefully they could talk to Nessa about it if there's a disagreement.
That's right. That's right. But maybe there's a formal process where it gets looked at in another way.
Entirely possible.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I'm not entirely sure myself either. Yeah. So maybe someone else knows. While the COVID situation is much better, it is definitely still out there. What are the criteria for our superiors to ensure our health and safety as well as the work from home changes?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that with the onboarding, like the coming back to campus, and I know that there's a lot of different websites out there as we're changing from like red to orange to green. There's websites out there that track all of the things that the university is doing to ensure that we stay well and healthy. I don't have those websites right now, but they're available out there and we could send them to you. But there's a lot of steps that are being described there from all angles.
Sure. So with the flexible work arrangement, is the 40% of time per week, for example, in my own department, someone said about a couple of weeks ago, after it was announced, what if I wanted to work the 40% through the entirety of winter and I just come into work in person for the rest of the year? Because for them, getting to the office is extremely hard in winter. Mm-hmm. And so
it's a really good question. I would like, so we'll record that. You see, these are the kinds of questions that we need to think about. That's a really good question. I've heard from different places, like some places, you know, schedule it per week. Some places schedule it by semester, some places schedule it by month. We need to look at how we want to do that. I think there's sort of always with an assumption it kind of went by week, but 40% is 40%. And so we should have these conversations. It's a good question, very good question.
It's definitely one that warrants some clarity once a decision is made, for sure.
Yeah.
Is it possible to work 40% of your weekly work hours in 2 days to reduce commute time? Does that flexibility exist? Is it possible to work 60% of your weekly hours in 2 days?
So this you would be looking at modifying your work schedule kind of a thing. I think that gets into HR area that I probably don't have good answers for, but it's, I wouldn't know the answer to that. Sorry. That would be a Joanne Houle kind of question.
You don't need to apologize. We appreciate that you're
Well,
here.
I wish I had the answers.
we all wish we were all knowing at all times.
Yes, that's true.
Am I understanding that building spaces will be modified to accommodate the new model of work if and when it is finalized? That is, would there be a need for renovations?
Well, it would all depend on the, that's a very good question as well. That would all depend on the percentage of hybrid work that you would be looking at the higher the percentage of hybrid work, the more likely that you're going to have a lot more people working from home. Therefore, you're probably not going to want to use your space the way that you had used it traditionally, because people are going to be using the space on campus differently than, let's call it, in the olden days or the days of when everybody showed up 100%.
Would we be moving between buildings when reserving workspaces?
For the pilot project, we're all on the same floor. Okay. I don't think that would make, but even if it ever expanded, I don't think it would make sense to move between buildings.
Sure.
But we're not there yet anyway.
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Yeah. When will the new interim flexible work arrangement guidelines and timelines be available?
So there was an announcement that went out from HR 2 to 3 weeks ago, I would say.
Yeah.
And so that announcement said we were moving to 40%. And so I think that it's kind of already done.
I think they were wondering about the specifics, because when the first flexible work arrangement was arranged, it was kind of like, you're going to get one day a week. And then when you went to apply for it, there was a lot more like, actually, here are all the restrictions and limitations. So I think they're wondering.
They're looking for the fine.
Those details going to happen.
The fine print. Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't have it. I don't have a date myself. But I would imagine that it should be relatively, like, I'd say between in the next maybe, like, probably. And this is just a guess, but I'm just guessing, but I would say probably by early fall, late August, early September, somewhere like that.
Before we hit 100% in-person presence, right?
Exactly. That would be what my thought would be.
My understanding as well. I have a question, Lisa, in terms mm-hmm. of the policy, the work from home policy. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea of when that will be released?
Like a long-term policy?
Long-term policy.
Okay. I think that what's going to happen is we're going to be working at the pilot project for the next 18 months. We're also going to be implementing the new interim flexible work arrangements over the next 18 months. And I know that there's going to be iterations, like as we learn and go through, there's going to be exchanges of information. So it could be that it's updated, maybe the flexible, there could be possible updates. I don't know. But I would imagine that a long-term policy, and this is just my opinion, but it would make sense to me, a long-term policy would come forth after the pilot project came to an end or was coming to an end, depending on when we stop it and we say, here are our results.
I almost see what you're doing as, and I think I've shared it with you before, like you're building a house.
Yes.
Right now you're working on the foundation. And so the policy, it would be far too soon to even, implement a policy because you don't have all of the pieces yet in order to create that policy.
Yeah, it's interim. Yes. And can I just also add yes. that when we benchmarked with other organizations, a lot of organizations are doing the same thing. It's interim. Well, because we're all, if we just think us, what we're doing, but bigger than us, pretty much, like the world, is we're all now re-entering this new normal and we're all learning. So there's an awareness, like what Joanne said, there's an awareness that we're all learning together and that we're all entering this new phase, and that it's only once we have some experience with this new phase and experience with this learning that we can really put our stake in the ground for what makes sense.
Well, thank you very, very much, Lisa, for presenting and answering all those questions. You were really on the hot seat, I could see. I want to thank Maggie and Niku again for presenting. And thank you, Ray, for triaging the questions. I want to thank everyone for attending the presentation today. It was really, really great. And I hope it is just the first of many more to come. We will reach out to you, Lisa, probably within a month or so, and ask if we could have a follow-up presentation, because I think this has just sort of whetted people's interest in terms of what does this pilot project mean for the university, how will it impact us, and so forth. So I want to thank everyone.
And I want to thank you, too, for inviting us to come, because it was a really good... These questions are very stimulating.
We will send them off to you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
can probably stop recording at this point now too.
I can't close the Zoom. I'm sorry, I'm still on.